Welcome to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show with Angie Z. I'm a mindset coach, host of Zillionaire Superstars podcast show, and designer of Zillionaire Creations, entrepreneurial clothing line. I know the road to evolution starts with understanding the power of your mind. The problem isn't with what you're doing, it is how you're thinking. The Zillionaire Superstar podcast show shares with you the mindset tools and techniques used by successful entrepreneurs and business owners that created their level of success today, and shares how you can also do the same. Welcome to Zillionaire Superstars podcast with Angie Z. I am beyond words excited to have the fabulous Daria Zvenja, who's here with me today talking about mindset, my favorite subject, as you all know. So Daria is a mindset expert and founder of the Dream Sprint, which is a self-discovery program. Daria helps people tap into the power of their brain to gain clarity, develop emotional resilience, and define the next steps in life. Daria, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here.
Likewise. I'm so glad to be here, Angie, and thank you for having me.
Most welcome. So in order to get a bit of understanding of who you are, I'd like to start with a few quick questions. How does that sound?
Of course, sounds good.
Awesome. So we already know what you do, but in your own words, what would you say? What do you do?
I help people live their life at fullest and become the best version they could possibly be.
Awesome. Where do you live?
Los Angeles, California.
Awesome. Love it. I haven't been, but I want to go, definitely. Favorite book or podcast?
Favorite book, Dr. David Eagleman, The Brain. Favorite podcast, Broken Brain by Dr. Mark Hyman.
Oh, I haven't heard of either of those, so I have to check those out. What's your favorite charity?
Interesting. This is a great question. I don't have my favorite one, but I always contribute to the one which does ocean cleanup, because I'm like a big environmentalist, and the things that I can do in this space, I'm always doing.
Fantastic. And what is your daily success ritual look like?
Oh my God. I think right now, during this time, I have literally, honestly, like several days ago, I posted a post on Instagram that I'm not productive right now. I'm just not. I go to bed at midnight. I wake up at 9 a.m. I start working at 11. So I'm just telling transparent that right now, I don't follow any routine. And the exercise that I'm doing, that I am putting the hard work about, not feeling guilty about it. You know what I mean?
I love it.
Right now, my routine is just accept however I want to spend my days this time, and then feel power from it and not feel the disempowerment.
Oh, it's beautiful, Daria, definitely. And I love your refreshing honesty about how you're spending your time. And funny enough, I did see your Insta post on that, so that's very cool. Now, tell us, because I'm so excited to learn, how did you get on this journey of learning about mindset? What was it that started you on it?
Thanks for asking. I think a lot of people can resonate with my journey, because I experienced two immigration processes in my life. So first, I immigrated. I'm from Russia originally, actually from Siberia. It's like the furthest part of Russia. And then from Siberia, I moved to Moscow. It's the capital of Russia. And then from Moscow, I moved to Vietnam. So this was kind of like my first big transition. And I was living there for a little bit more than half a year. Mm-hmm. And then it was like everything was fine, because, you know, I was just doing my things. I was doing the work that I was doing. I was working with charities in UNESCO, you know, and helping the world and the kids. And then I met my husband.
Yes.
And it was just, I had no other option other than move to the United States. I never thought that I would. Mm-hmm. And it was really hard for me, this transition from, you know, things that I did and things that I associated myself with to a totally new country where I was nobody, like I knew nobody.
Yes.
And I was just alone in my apartment, like all days long for the first year.
Wow.
Because my husband was working hard, and this is where I hit the major mindset blocks, because you know, you never know yourself unless you are in the situation, mm-hmm. which gives you complete uncertainty. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And when uncertainty comes when you are making choices, but you do not have plans. Yes. Mm. So I made the choice to move to the United States, but I didn't have any plan. And this is how all these fears, all these limiting beliefs came up for me. But at that time, I didn't know that it was that. I thought that I was just getting depressed and something is wrong with me. So I got into this blame and shame realm and was spiraling down, feeling really upset, like literally 24/7. I could cry in the middle of the day, like for no reason, and all this emotional breakdowns, I started to realize that it's not normal and that I should do something about it. This is not who I am and this is not who I want to be.
Yes.
So after this decision, I lived in San Francisco at that time.
Right.
And Stanford University and Berkeley University was really close to me. So I had a good accessibility to great knowledge in this space. And I started to discover on my own, first just searching in the internet what's going on with my emotional world. And this is how I stumbled upon neuroscience. It's the science about how the brain works. And I'm a very logical person, so a lot of things fell into place where I started to realize that it was totally normal what I was going through. And a lot of people, we are not just designed to change fast. It's just not what we do as humans. And that's why it requires a lot of work. And that's why it requires for you to take action and to proactively update your mindset in order to fit the new reality you are in. Mm. And this is how I went to Stanford. Has this special arm of like professional education courses. So I went to Stanford on campus for cognitive neuroscience professional education, and this is where I met my mentors. And then I started to like participate in neuroscience research and organize a lot of events in San Francisco with top neuroscientists in the world. And this is how I kind of like got myself immersed in this space and acquired a lot of knowledge and started to practice and learn more about myself. And when I reached the point where I felt completely confident, my self-worth was in a good place, mm-hmm. I noticed that opportunities start to come to me. I found like really high paid, like six-figure job in San Francisco. Literally, it just came to me from nowhere. And I started to receive all these crazy, crazy offers. And, you know, just I kind of like became in the zone. I felt that I'm in the zone.
Wow.
And I wanted other people to feel the same, because it doesn't matter if you... I don't have a fancy degree. I have my Russian bachelor's degree, which is non-competitive in San Francisco, where 90% of people graduated from Stanford and Berkeley and like UCSF and all the other fancy universities. So, but it doesn't matter. You have to build up your self-worth. You have to build up your confidence. You have to boost yourself in a growth mindset, and then all this kind of like factual things like education, certifications, whom you know, they fall in the second place, and your personality comes first. And people want to work with people who have personality, who have their own set of beliefs, and they stand for them. So yeah, this is in a nutshell how I got myself into this world, and then, you know, I started to share my story in companies in San Francisco, and this is how it all started.
Wow, what amazing transformation.
Thank you, Angie.
So in a sense, you've been through a situation like COVID before, because you were on your own for quite some time in an apartment without knowing anyone in a strange city. So you've felt this type of uncertainty before.
Yes, and it was even a greater uncertainty, because right now my husband is at home with me every single day. And before that, he wasn't.
Yes.
Oh, that's fantastic.
More fun.
Oh, definitely. It's always more fun. Definitely. So how long were your studies at Stanford University then?
It was for half a year.
Okay, half a year. Wow, nice. And so how did that then go into the Dream Sprint? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I thought that like one-on-one approach, I knew that if I would coach people one-on-one, it would work perfectly because, you know, the major thing is the accountability that one-on-one approach gives people, that yes. they, you know, do stuff and then you hold them accountable. But at the same time, I didn't want just to fill my schedule up with one-on-one clients. For some reason, it was not my top choice.
Okay.
So I thought, like, how can I still bring the same value to people at scale? And I knew that I can't just do a normal video course, you know, which people just buy and watch in their own time, because what happens with these programs, people are not completing them. They just start on the courses, but the completion rate is about 4%.
Wow.
It means that people are not getting results too if they're not completing the work.
Yes.
So I invented this format. It's called, that's why it's called the Sprint. Because you literally have 35 days to do this, and you can only do this during these 35 days.
Okay.
So the way I structure it, I send people every month the new group starts. So when the new group starts, I send people a challenge, and the challenge is part theory, part my stories, and part an exercise that they should do. Like you would, you know, talk to your coach. The coach would tell you the stories, would tell you what you should try to do, and then you have a deadline to complete the task. And when you complete the task, you submit it and receive feedback. But if you did not complete the task, you are deleted from the program.
Right.
So it's not possible to go forward without completing the task. And what people are accomplishing on the Dream Sprint, they are accomplishing basically what I could accomplish myself. So when people feel that they are stuck, when people feel that they have, for some reason, no enthusiasm in things that they do, they maybe experience some kind of big change in life and they don't know how to cope. So this program literally brings people from self-discovery about what they truly want, what inspires them in life, what gives them energy. Then we work through like mental blocks and limiting beliefs and fears. And basically at the end of this program, people crystal clear know what they want, they know what to do, and they already take actions.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that. That's incredible.
Thank you.
That's such a good system to have in place because, like you said, there's so much, you know, online that we can do in terms of programs and what have you, resources. But you're right. A lot of people are really good at signing up and starting and then not completing or, in fact, not even going in and starting at all. So it's quite interesting. Definitely.
Yeah.
So how long have you had Dream Sprint for, Daria?
For more than a year. I started in February 2019.
Right. Awesome. Awesome. So given you've had experience with this type of situation we're all finding ourselves in now, and, you know, say for someone out there, we were talking before we went live about how, you know, everyone's living quite differently. So there's a polarity between, you know, how there's people that are fine financially and how they're able to live compared to someone that's, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. So what would you say are some good mindset techniques that they could utilize to manage this situation at this time?
Yes. The worst thing that we can do for ourselves is to the reality. This is where struggle comes, when we find ourselves in some situation and then we resist it, we don't want it to happen. This is where the worst things in terms of mindset happen. So in order for you to understand what you should do, first of all, you should measure kind of like the temperature, yes?
Yes.
Where you are. So you can measure the temperature by just writing down what are the facts that you are now bearing with, yes?
Right.
It can be, and these facts, they can bring you down. Once you put them on paper and you realize them, you may feel even worse. But at that moment, you should understand that those are the facts, and you should ask yourself, can I change this fact? Mm. Yes. And if you can change this fact, then you, you know, try to find ways and like micro steps that to change this fact. But in the majority of cases, we can't change some facts in our life. For example, if right now during the COVID crisis, you live in a small apartment and it really brings you down. You can't be at home all day long. Mm-hmm. But this is the fact that you can't change right now. So it means that you should learn how to not appreciate this fact, but first of all, how to just recognize it. Yes?
Yes.
And it's really important not create suffering on top of suffering. Mm. Because there is basic suffering, like small apartment during COVID crisis. But then there is another layer of suffering where you are telling yourself, oh my God, I feel so bad here. And then other people live better. Maybe I should just eat a lot of ice cream all day long, or you know, whatever is your thing in terms of whatever is your addiction.
Yes,
yeah? Because we all have addictions.
That's right.
And once you are recognizing reality, and once you stop fighting with it, once you're accepting as it is,
mm-hmm.
It starts to get easier and easier to first of all become aware of your addictive behaviors, and then stop blaming and shaming yourself.
Yes? Right.
And from that point where you basically accept yourself and where you're saying nice things to yourself, this is how you build a stronger mindset. So this is how you build this muscle where you see that something is not going the way you want, but you are able to reflect back and you are able to talk yourself out of creating additional suffering.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good point. Definitely, definitely. That resistance plays a big part right now. You know, I think a lot of people, including myself, you know, were a bit in denial when it first happened. It was like, no, this isn't happening. No, it's not going to get worse. And it just continually, like, everything started shutting down right in front of you. And it was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation really hit home.
Yes.
Yeah. So, in terms of, I guess, people moving forward and getting back on their feet, once they've accepted reality and start appreciating themselves and who they are as a person, what would you recommend in order to start moving forward, like to really help them? Because, you know, some people are struggling with unemployment, finance issues and all of that sort of thing. What would you recommend to those out there that are finding themselves in that situation?
Mm-hmm. It's really important to understand what do you truly want at that point. Yeah. And of course, when you have just some real life struggles, like you have no money or you have no job. Yeah. But what do you need job for money? Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you are in this position, of course, external action should go first. And it's really important not to be a deer in the middle of the road. There is like this deer syndrome when they just freeze and they're waiting for the car to hit them.
Yeah.
But they could run away. So it's really important to track yourself if you're frozen with fear. And if you're frozen with fear, the best way you can do is to literally write down your fears and burn them. This works for me.
Wow.
Just by becoming aware of them, putting them on paper, and then physically burning them and tearing them apart.
Yeah.
And then after that, you should feel a little bit less frozen. And external actions are the best, because when you don't have a job, you have probably a lot of time on your hands, so you can try a lot of creative things. You can try cold outreach to people you love. You can create a series of interviews with people who inspire you. So there are a lot of ways to kind of like bring your name out.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, a friend of mine, she has been recently laid off, like millions and millions of people all around the world. And what is a natural thing to do is kind of like to hide that you were laid off, or to become really kind of like aware that, oh, maybe I'm not worthy. So it's like it's a very vulnerable spot. But she did something amazing. She started to publicly talk about that, oh, I've been laid off. This is my day one of being laid off. This is my day two of being laid off. So she started to be very vocal about it. And now, in a matter of like a couple of weeks, she became a really big influencer on LinkedIn. And her posts are right now like 2,000 likes per post.
Wow.
a lot of people find themselves in the same situation. And yeah. if you're struggling right now, you know that you're not alone. So the more vocal you are,
yes.
the more you can build this mindset of it's not you who is wrong. Yeah, there is yeah. nothing wrong with you. There's just something that is happening all around us. And you can literally become a thought leader these days if you are open Correct. About your struggles
yeah.
and if you can articulate them the right way. And I think email, like cold email outreach, can bring people a long way. Like, it helped me a lot. Once I built my confidence up, I started to realize that I don't need introductions. I can just call people and introduce myself. I can just email people and introduce myself.
Exactly.
And this is how I built my network in the United States.
Amazing, Daria, definitely. And I think you touched on a really important point, irrespective of the situation anyone finds themselves in right now, is to really ramp up that positive propaganda to energize you rather than listening to too much news or, you know, negative sort of news that's out there, because obviously you're just going to feel even more fearful and more worried, and it's going to put you in a different state. Whereas, you know, positive propaganda like Chris Harder or Ramit Sethi, those guys, you know, what they're saying out there right now is really helpful, and it's helping a lot of people, like your friend, because yes. she's being vocal about it, which is awesome. So what's some of the positive propaganda you listen to, Daria?
Oh, this is a good question. So I do not watch news at all. I don't yeah. have any apps. I have nothing to know information from. But because I know if something important happens, I'm sure my friends will send me it on WhatsApp. You know, I will know it. So the first thing is to literally filter the channels of information and to literally write down where your attention goes during the day and what type of information you consume. And you can audit it, and you can ask yourself, is this information like good to my targets that I have? Is this good to find my job? Like, looking at death statistics every day, does it help you? I don't think it helps. I think we're already doing the maximum that we can. We're staying home, we're self-isolating. There is no need for us to, you know, to cry every single day because, you know, people are dying. Yes, this is, yes. This, I don't want to sound cynical, but if we bring ourselves down, we actually create this ripple effect, and mm-hmm. other people will also feel worse. So we have personal yeah. responsibility to keep our mindset intact as much as we can, because this is how we can be a really good members of this society. Yes, by spreading good messages, by being optimistic, and at the same time being compassionate to the struggle in this world.
Yes, beautifully said. Most definitely. I think that's important to note. It's not that you're disregarding what's happening, but vibrationally it's actually helping everyone if you can stay on top, you know, in terms of your mindset and how you feel every day, rather than wallowing and getting upset about it, because there are certain factors in this situation, obviously, none of us can control. They're out of our hands. So we need to yeah. realise that. And I think back to before we went live, Daria, you spoke about a really important point I want to bring up for everyone. And you said, you know, with your business and everything, and, you know, the fact you didn't have a network and all of that, but you did study and you were, you know, fascinated with your studies and consumed by that. But you said, like, you were taking that positive action. And can you just repeat what was the actual words that you used to talk about that in terms of yeah. the consequences?
Sure. Was it about the inspired action?
Yeah. So, like, you said something to the effect of by taking action, it will naturally happen. Like, nothing else can happen as a result of you taking positive action. Does that make sense?
Yes, for sure. Of course, when you are, so the best thing that you can do, once you recognize what makes you feel worse, once you recognize what are you fearful of, and you basically unfroze yourself, you can start to do actions, the easiest one that you see. And there are no bad actions, literally. Because mm-hmm. actions, this is what bring us forward. And when I was in the situation where I didn't know what to do, I was really stuck. I was literally just, I did nothing all day long. I was watching Netflix quite a bit. I think I watched like the whole Game of Thrones at that time, like in one shot, and a bunch of other like science fiction things, which I think it's really good sometimes to have this time so you can then reflect back on it and you can understand in contrast what does it bring. But basically when you are acting from the place of inspiration but not from the place of fear, this is where the magic happens. So for example, yes. When you run from something, yes, you're just blindly running from something because you're fearful. This is a fearful action. Mm. But for example, when you run towards something, yes, this is an inspired action because you know where you're going. You know your destination, and then you take action towards it. So find the destinations where you want to go and then take the smallest action possible. And this will have a compounding interest, and this compounding interest will, you know, make you a lot of money.
I love it, Daria. So tell me, we've spoken about like one of your most challenging moments in life. I have to ask you, did that feel like a long time you were in that place?
It was for a good year.
Yeah.
So it felt really long.
Yeah. So now let's talk about then one of your career highlights. What would you say that's been to date?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I think I really pride myself in becoming a really top leadership group coach for really successful companies here in the United States, because I never knew that I would be in this place. Yeah. Mm. Back in Russia, I used to be a TV host. I used to be a marketing person at L'Oreal and I used to do charity. So nothing in my life told me, like, you know, I had no predispositions to do things that I do today, and I would never expect it. And my ability to quickly understand this new area and build connections in this area and then put my thought leadership out there, I think I really did a magnificent job in that. And even local people here, you know, who was born and raised in LA, they were asking me, like, Daria, how did you do this? I mean, we were born here. We, like, went to UCLA and all these things, but we don't know how have you done this. Maybe it's an immigrant mentality too, you know, because immigrants, they're kind of like, they have to work harder. That's why it's maybe it was in me. But I think this would be my highlight.
Oh, that's beautiful, amazing. So Daria, tell us what's next for you. What's happening for the remainder of this year?
This is a great one. So I have literally my position. I don't like to talk about things that hasn't happened yet.
Okay.
I love talking about results.
Yes.
But I can say that I'm now working with a really fascinating research group about millennial burnout. This is the topic that I think is super, super important, because right now millennials and Gen Z, these two generations, the rates of depression are really skyrocketing.
Mm.
The rates of burnout are really skyrocketing, and there are a lot of kind of like predispositions to this, a lot of socioeconomic changes that happened during the last decade that literally put these generations in the place they are. So I'm curious to learn more about that and to get some quality research.
Amazing. Well, we love that you're out there helping more and more people every day. So thank you for that. Keep shining your beautiful light. Love your work. And what's the best way for people to contact you?
Instagram.
Yep.
I always reply in messages there.
It's, okay.
Daria_Svenger. If you have any caption for this podcast, I can just put the link.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't we do that? Because they might have trouble spelling your surname.
Yes. Fair enough.
Well, Daria, wish you all the very best, and thank you so much for sharing your wisdom today.
Of course, you too. Thank you, Angie. You're amazing. And I hope that when you come to LA, you'll let me know in advance and we can plan for something cool.
Oh, I would so love that. Definitely. I've been to Houston and New York, so I'd love to come to LA. Absolutely.
Of course. And find me on Instagram yourself so, you know, I can follow you and we can be in touch.
I would love that, Daria. Thank you so much.
Of course. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Zillionaire Superstars podcast show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear your comments and reviews, so please leave a review on iTunes. For further information, visit angelinazimmerman.com, and I can't wait to catch up with you next time.